So if you turn your word over to Psalm 61, 1 through 8, I'm going to go ahead and have some scriptures for you to read this morning that will help each and every one of us to understand what this word is. And the name of the message that really came to my spirit, which brought life to my spirit when the Spirit of the Lord spoke it into my heart, is called Protecting Your Promise. Protecting Your Promise. And I want this to be a life to you, a life word that will help you every day. Because protecting your promise is a daily activity. God has given each and every one of you, each and every one of us, a promise in our life. It's there. If you haven't recognized it, it's there. But I'm sure that you have recognized it. And that oftentimes the enemy tries to destroy that promise or tries to stop the promise from happening. So I'm going to read Psalm 61, 1 through 8 here at this particular time. And I want you to hear very much so what it's being said. And I want you to understand the depth of this. And you're only going to see Psalm 61, 1 through 3, because those are the scriptures that I'm going to read back to you again in a moment after reading the whole psalm. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare your mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now let's just go back to the first part there, and let's look at this particular scripture. Hear my cry, O God. I believe that the church has become silent. I believe that not purposely, but through many, many difficulties in the road that the church has traveled, instead of becoming stronger in her prayer life, she has become more so silent in her crying out to God and asking God to attend to my prayer. Ask yourself, as I do every day, God, what do you want me to say to you? What, God, can I say to you that will make a difference in this nation today? What do you want, God, of me that I can do for you? Not what, God, I want from you that you can do for me, God, but what can I do for you to continue to bring forth the knowledge of the Word, the power of the Word, and the sanctification of the Word into the hearts of those that hear the Word. In other words, attend to my cry. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. Now that talks about distance. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I want us to think for a moment, as I have thought this whole week, declaring this message over and over in my mind, heart, the distance of prayer, the depth of the overwhelming pressures that we feel every day in this world that we live in today, the attacks of the enemy that come, the voice of the enemy that comes after you with negative talk, you'll never be anything. You'll never be able to do the things that you want to do. You'll never be able to become the person that you've wanted to become. No one cares about you. No one cares about your situation. No one cares about your ministry. No one really just cares about you at all. You're not even an afterthought. The enemy is very evil and very mean. He doesn't ever say things like, "You're great. You have a phenomenal ministry. God has given you a great promise, and that promise is going to touch many lives." You become overwhelmed, as we all do sometimes. And we need to go someplace instead of into a dark corner and do nothing, or to go to a place and sit down and become silent, or just to put God aside and just live through some sort of an overwhelming pressure in your life. Jesus did say that we should come to him if we are weary and heavy laden, and he will give us rest. We have to understand that the Bible is very clear that we have a rock, Jesus Christ, that is higher than you and I. A place to where we can go that the enemy cannot follow. The enemy can't get there. We have a throne room of grace that we can enter into boldly and obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. That's a promise of the Bible, that we have that there, and we have to make that choice every day to get there. And then it says, "For you have been a shelter for me." Thank God for his pinions of his wings that cover us. Thank God that he is a pavilion and a bulwark that fails not. Thank God that we have a shelter that we can run to, which is his love, his everlasting arms, and his everlasting promise into our life that we can go to. We have a shelter and a strong tower from the enemy, a tower that's so high, his name is as a strong tower. So high that the enemy cannot climb into that tower, cannot follow us into that tower. He can't speak to us in that place. He cannot declare to us the things that may cause others to come to us and cause us difficulties. I think it's important that we look at something also. Let me read some scriptures to you that I want you to follow along with. And I just really want to read these to you before I take you through some stories of protection. God protecting his promise, or you protecting the promise that God has given you, or you protecting someone that is part of your promise that God has given you. Psalm 5:12 says, "For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. You surround him with favor like a shield." You know, the Bible declares that we can pick up the shield of faith, and the fiery darts of the enemy cannot penetrate that shield. The Bible declares that God is the lifter of our head and a shield about us. The Bible declares that the anointed of God are shielded by his love and his mercy and his protection. Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my pillar and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower." Isn't that wonderful? Personally, your own high tower, the name that you can run to, the rock that you can make it to. It's yours. It's personally yours. It doesn't belong to somebody across the aisle. It doesn't belong to somebody in the back of the church. It doesn't belong to your neighbor across the street, whereby if they are Christians, it does belong to them personally also. As Paul wrote in the Word of God, my Savior. Let me say, there's this personal attachment that you must always have with Jesus Christ. He is your personal Savior, even though he is our Savior and our God. There is a personal relationship, a personal experience that you have with God every day of your life, every moment, every second. He protects you as you sleep, and He leads you as you walk through the day. For the steps of a righteous man or a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. We have to always claim this. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I was helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices and with my song I will thank Him. Taking a song with you every day and singing that song, not just in church. It's wonderful to be in corporate worship. It's wonderful to praise God together. And there's really nothing like that in worship, where we're all singing the same song and thinking about how much we love God. But there's those moments when we can sing ourselves in prayer unto the Lord. We can sing ourselves, just go ahead and sing and say, God, I love you so much. And I give you praise and honor. You can begin to sing a song unto the Lord that you may have in your heart that you've written yourself across the very pages of your heart that you want to sing to God, a love song of however it may be, but it's a personal song. You want to thank Him. You want to praise Him for the promises that He's given you. Notice that I said promises instead of promise. There's promises that God has given to your life, to your family, to your future. There's a promise that you can latch onto, hook onto, embrace, draw close to your heart that you know God spoke that to you. It is your personal promise. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Praise God. I think it's wonderful that we could talk a little bit about stories of protection. And before I do that, I want to try to give you something here that will help you personalize this message to your own life. You know, when my mother-in-law was in a prayer meeting when Kathy was only 17 years old. And she was in a prayer meeting outside of Bel Air, Maryland, in a charismatic prayer meeting. The word came to her. Kathy wasn't living for God, and she hadn't met me, and I wasn't living for God, but a promise came to her that your daughter will marry a pastor. So fear not. Your daughter will marry a pastor. She grabbed a hold of that promise. She prayed daily for that promise to happen. When Kathy and I met, we weren't living for God. We weren't living for God at all. That was the farthest thing from our mind, was living for God. It was living for ourselves and having fun in life. And we weren't married and we were just having a ball. And we went to Stuart, Florida to visit them. And we hitchhiked down from Bel Air, Maryland, the Baltimore area. And we hitchhiked down to Florida to see my father-in-law, Louis Pagan, and my mother-in-law, Theta Pagan, there. And they knew we were coming. And that night, they invited a Church of God pastor over to minister to us. And what we did when we came into that house, we were there. And he began to speak to us. And we began to make fun of that pastor. We began to ridicule him. We began to mock him. We began to give him trouble. And we got up and walked away from him, not even asking to be excused. But Theta kept protecting the promise. She kept praying for the promise. Never said an ill word to us about that. Nothing. She visited us in California, where we were not living the right kind of life either. She would be there in our commune. She would walk around with us. She would go to lunch with us. She would go to dinner with us. And we would just be whoever we were. And she never said an ill or harsh word. She used to look at me all the time and say three words: Jesus loves you. All the time. She would just look at me and say that. She was protecting the promise. Are you following me, church? She was protecting the promise that was given to her. When we were there in the mountains of Santa Cruz, she was back in Florida on a Saturday night or a Friday night. I don't remember which night it was. But she gathered the Christians that were there together in her home in Stuart, Florida. And she said, something is wrong with Kathy and Dennis. Something's going to happen. We need to pray. And she, every time I look at a salt and pepper shaker, I think about how she protected her promise. She took a salt and pepper shaker and put it on the table in the kitchen in Stuart, Florida. And I can clearly see it in my mind, that kitchen whereby she had prayed for me to be healed of an ulcer. And I was immediately healed. She drew a circle of blood, she said, an imaginary circle of blood around that salt and pepper shaker. And the next day, the property where we were raided by the police. And they tell me that literally what happened, I had an Irish setter who was roped to that truck that was a bright orange and yellow truck, a 1948 two-ton Chevrolet Master that was there, 13.2 inches high and 26 feet long. A school bus, a 62-passenger school bus parked 3 feet away from it. They raided that property and took everybody there to jail. Except for the women were able to stay there with the children, but they could not leave. And literally, my wife was gone. She was down in Santa Cruz at our house on 17th Avenue. We had a couple houses in those days. And there, the police raided every building, and this is what they said to me. They said, Dennis, you're in no trouble. I said, why's that? All we can say to you is when they came on that property, your dog was barking, but they acted like the truck was invisible. They went in every nick and cranny of that property, in the barn, in the house, in the bedrooms, in the vehicles, in the school bus. They never entered your truck. It is though it did not exist. Theta prayed a prayer to protect her promise. Even though I was not a pastor, even though Kathy was not a pastor's wife, even though we were raised as Christians of some sort, we were not living that life at all, and it was not what we looked down the road to become. She was protecting the promise. Are you understanding me, church? What I'm saying to you, if God has given you a promise, pray. If God gives you some sort of a sense in your spirit to pray for your promise, pray. She prayed for that promise. And she was there the day that I gave my heart to the Lord. My wife gave her heart to the Lord 6 months prior to me giving my heart to the Lord. And I was living a very difficult, very sinful life. And my wife gave her heart to the Lord and she began to go to church every Sunday. Believe me, Theta continued to tell me, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus loves you. She was protecting the promise. She was there, as I just mentioned, the day that I got saved. She was there the day that I was called into the ministry. She was there when I preached my first sermon. She saw the promise fulfilled that she protected. You know, we can't give up on our children. We can't give up on the promise that God has given to us. No matter what has happened before our eyes, no matter how things look physically, we have to believe spiritually what God is saying, and we have to believe that that promise is for real. Amen. We have to understand that what God has said is something that is powerful and mighty, and what God says, it's true, because God cannot lie and his promises fail not. She protected the promise. The first one I'd like to tell you about is Israel. Israel had a promise given to her, even though she got into a backslidden condition and was brought into a horrific life for 400 years. The things that were going on, God always protected the promise. And when he drew Israel out of Egypt, God protected that promise throughout the desert, consistently protecting the promise that Israel would become that which God has called it to be. They being the apple of God's eye. Israel became something that is a nation even today that the world looks at when decisions are made. Let me tell you something. The second one is Daniel. Daniel is in a lion's den. Daniel is there, and God protects his promise in a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were protected in the fiery furnace. God protects his promise. So if you feel like today that you're in a lion's den, let me tell you, the lions have no power over you. The lions have no power over God. The lions have no power in your promise. The lions have no power. They cannot devour what God has promised you. And your destiny is set, and God is going to take you down that road till the destiny is fulfilled. Nothing can stop the promise of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, inside that fiery furnace, there was someone in there that looked like the Son of Man, that was the likeness of the Son of Man. And that fire was so hot, but yet with the Holy Ghost of the living God, the Jesus that we serve, all that was present there, it cooled that fire down and it could not burn them. If you feel like you're going through the fire right now in your life, if you feel things aren't going as well as you wanted them to be, you feel like everything's falling apart around you, that's like being in a fiery furnace. Let me tell you something. You're not going to burn up. You're not going to see failure. You're not going to be left alone. You're going to walk out of that furnace and people are going to say, I thought you were going to burn up, and you will say, no, there was one with me like the Son of Man who kept me from burning up and kept me from being destroyed. For I know who I believe, and I believe the report of the Lord, praise God, in my life and for my promises. Then there's David. Oh, you can go through the life of David and you can see some of the Psalms that he wrote, how God protected him. And yet, let's look at David protecting the flock that he had. He took a bear and killed him. He took a lion and killed him. He looked at Goliath one day, protecting God's promise. He said, I've killed a bear. I've killed a lion. That Goliath's going to be nothing to me. Let me tell you something, because he knew that that which was attacking him was not that which was attacking him personally. It was attacking God's promise. And God's promise is not going to be destroyed. And we own it. It's a promise that we accepted. And he said to Goliath, you're not calling me anything big. Don't worry about it. You can say what you want. You've not offended me, but you've offended the God of all of Israel. So let me tell you something, church. Those things that are being said to you, those things that are being said to you to ridicule you, to tear you down, to fill you with negativity and to harm you and to hurt you, they are not at all powerful, because what's happening is they are offending the Lord God who we serve. And he will not allow that to happen. Take down that Goliath through prayer. Take down that Goliath through a statement of faith. Take down that Goliath by believing that God's promise is stronger, larger, bigger, enormous, and it cannot be broken by a giant that stands before you, praise God, by a mountain that's up before you, by a river that's rushing, by an ocean that's so deep. You have a promise from God, and it's your promise. God promised Israel Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was broken down, and Nehemiah gets word and he goes to protect the promise of God in Jerusalem. Rebuilds the wall. How about Mary and Joseph? A promise given to Mary that she was going to be birthing the Son of God. How about that? Joseph hears about it, and he's about to leave and not be any part of her because it was going to hurt his family and everything. And what did he do? An angel appeared to him and said, Joseph, this is from God. This is a promise that's true. He goes to her and he protects her. He takes her out of the area to where they were going to hurt people. And he takes her away and then takes her back. And they travel all around and they finally find there's no room in the inn, but he continues to protect her. He takes her to a manger out in the midst of a field where there was the food for the animals kept, and there angels have appeared, and she births the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Joseph protected the promise of God. Mary protected the promise of God. Let me tell you something. Elizabeth, with John in her womb, when she saw Mary, John leaped and was filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth was, because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. Let me tell you something. Even if it's your promise seems to be in the womb right now, just the presence of that promise, you haven't birthed it yet, just by the presence of that promise, there's going to be a leaping of joy. There's going to be a presence of the Holy Ghost in power, a presence of the Holy Ghost in anointing in your life. How about Saul, who was going around trying to destroy the way, putting them in prison, standing at the foot of Stephen's clothes when he was killed and stoned to death, traveling to the road to Damascus with papers to arrest more of those of the way before they were called Christians, to arrest them and take them and imprison them. And the Lord appears to him and calls Paul now to be the protector of the promise for salvation to the Gentiles. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Are you hearing me, church? Do you understand that there is a protection for your promise? There is always something, someone. There is a God who is always protecting your promise. Praise God. And you have a promise, and your children have a promise, and mom and dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, poppies, whatever you're called, whatever nickname you have an opportunity to protect the promise. My grandchildren are living with me right now, and every day I have them read the Bible, a chapter out of the Bible. And every day after we read that chapter out of the Bible, they come with me in a little prayer circle, and we pray. I ask them what they want to pray for. Oh, they stutter. They don't know. They get nervous. And so, you know, I wait patiently, and then they come up with something like the puppy. You know, they come up with things. But what I'm teaching them to do is to read the Word and to pray. I'm protecting the promise for these little children that I believe God has spoken into my heart, that God will use these children. God will raise these children with an anointing. Their whole life I've been praying a prayer. Let no evil befall them, no plague come near their dwelling, and no disaster be upon their path. Anoint them, God. Call them into the ministry. Use them mightily in the generations to come. I am protecting the promise that God has given to me, and I am protecting that promise the same as Theda protected the promise that she received when Kathy was only 17 years old. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You and I, we have a protector that is much higher than we are. We have a name where we can find safety in Jesus Christ. We have a God who cares for you and I. And how about Paul and Silas? Even though they didn't do anything wrong but told the truth about a demon-possessed girl that spoke the truth, that they were used of God, that they were saying the things that Jesus would have them to say. But yet, they got thrown into prison, thrown into a dark cistern of a prison, strapped to the wall, where their feet weren't even touching the ground. They were hanging to the wall. But they had a promise from God. And how did they protect their promise? They began to sing praises unto God. So today, if you feel strapped to the wall, if you feel like you can't move and you're so bound
bound by the fetters of lies and negativity, break it by beginning to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to sing a song that will bring praise and honor unto a King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Protect it as though it is the promise that God has personally spoken to your life and you are reminded of every day. Then there's a Psalm 91. The Psalm 91 prayer. There's 16 verses there with 18 blessings. It's called God's protection for the end times. That's what Psalm 91 is. It talks about them falling to the left and thousands falling to the right. It talks about no evil befalling you. It talks about how you can be underneath the pinions of God's wing. It goes through over and over again, and it just touches your heart when you read it and the things that it's declared there for you. It speaks of such greatness that you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Let me tell you something. God has protection for you. Read that Psalm 91 over and over again. Read it and you'll see that with long life he shall satisfy you, and he will show you his salvation. You have a promise that has come from God. Read the psalm, understand the psalm, absorb into your spirit like a dry sponge would absorb water thrown into a pool of water, that you are absorbing the blessings of God, absorbing the promises of God into your life. Psalm 91, I read it all the time. I make it part of my prayer life. I make it part of my life. I make it an assurity to my life, a blessing to my life and for my family. I pray that psalm for my family because I believe it's protecting the promise. Are you with me this morning, church? A song of ascents, Psalm 121. If this is the psalm of ascents, and it's what it means, it builds. And I'm going to read this to you. Listen to me now. I will lift up my eyes to the hill. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who guards Israel shall never neither slumber nor sleep. Let me tell you, this psalm is ascending. If you read it, it's an ascending psalm. It keeps taking you higher and higher. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you during the day, nor the moon during the night. The Lord shall protect you from all evil. He will protect you from the enemy coming at you. He'll protect you, the promise he's placed in your life. You see, God has taken a personal feeling towards you through his son, Jesus Christ. There is a personal relationship there because a price was paid for you and I to have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We are family, church. We are part of a large family worldwide. We are part of a family that has already gone to glory before we enter into that place called heaven. We have family. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in now and forevermore. Praise God. Just think about that. How God was always there for you and I. How he doesn't forget about us. He hears every word we pray. He hears every word we say. That's why we should always say the right things, the positive things, the things that the Word declares. We should pray the Word. We should read the Word. We should memorize the Word. We should allow the Word to be life within our hearts, life within our soul. The Word renews our mind by the washing of the Word. We are regenerated. We are sanctified by the Word of God. There's a promise given to you and I. I stand before you today. My wife sits in this congregation today. We are a promise that was fulfilled when my mother-in-law received a word. 17 years old, my wife was. I had never even met her. I had no idea she existed. Now, that's a pretty distant promise, isn't it? I stand before you today. 45 years of marriage, we've been together. We've been in the ministry for 42 of those years. We've been together serving God and doing that. We are the fulfillment of a promise because we had a protector called God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Then we had an earthly protector called Theta Pagan who prayed and knew God had promised and was not allowed to let the enemy destroy that promise, even though she couldn't see it at that point that I was a pastor. She couldn't see it that my wife was a pastor's wife. She had a promise, though, that it was going to happen, and she believed that it was going to happen, and lo and behold, it came to be. I wonder how she felt after we left that apartment in Stuart, Florida, after we ridiculed that Church of God pastor, made fun of him and laughed at the statements that he said about Jesus Christ and about the things. I wonder, maybe did she look up to heaven and say, this could not be true. This could not be true. Maybe something was wrong in that prayer meeting. I will say to you, no, she didn't. She kept believing no matter how dark it looked. She believed for the light to pierce through the darkness and bring the joy of the Lord, which is unspeakable and full of glory, into the heart of this woman of God, and she saw this come to pass. I want to say something to you just as I close this morning. How many of you have a promise? How many of you have children or grandchildren, and there's a promise? How many of you have prayed for those children? Prayed for those grandchildren, prayed for those relatives, prayed for your own ministry. I'll tell you, every one of you should. I believe you have. But I also believe there's an enemy who is vehement to try to destroy you and for you to be able to become who God has called you to be. I stand here today in the glory of God's presence and in the knowledge of His Word, full of the Holy Ghost, anointed by God and being led by Jesus Christ every day. That there is a God that will never fail you. What you have prayed for your little grandbabies and what you've prayed for your children will come to pass. Just believe God for the promise. Never give up. Never stop thinking that God has not said it. Never allow the enemy to deter you from believing what the Word of God says. If you've got a promise, there is a protector called Jesus Christ that's watching over you. There is a rock that's much higher than you that you can run to. There's a name called Jesus. It's a tower. It's a safety place. It's a place where you can find safety. There's a shelter. There's a pavilion. There's a bulwark. There's a shield that He covers you. There's a lifter of your head. There is a promise giver and a promise keeper living with inside your heart the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see your promise fulfilled. You have a pastor standing here today preaching to you, protecting you through this word, the protector of your promise. You have a family. Pray for your children. Pray for them. Pray for their wives. Pray for their families. Pray for what is personal to your life and know that God will never fail you. Amen. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me this morning?